Okay.
Yep.
Board of Appeals is now in session. We have an agenda of items, but I'm gonna modify it. I'm gonna postpone approval of the minutes. There's only three members here. I think I'd like to have more of the members review the minutes. But more importantly, even though the board's rules changes are fairly minor, I think we want a full board to approve them. So let's postpone those. First item on the agenda is a 527C clearless wire amendment to special exception of A 527B. Kurt, do you want to present that?
Sure. Trudy, should I do that from here or?
Yes.
This is a application by Clearwire for an amendment to special exception A-527B, and they want to add a second carrier, and that carrier is going to utilize three additional panel antennas and related equipment. And the existing facility is a monopole located at 707 Conservation Lane, Gaithersburg, Maryland, and the property is in the RA zone, the low density residential zone. And this is allowed by section 24-2511 of the City of Gaithersburg Zoning Ordinance, subject to review by the Board of Appeals. And presenting for Clearwire is Mr. Paul Whitley.
Good evening. I think Kirk just covered a lot of what I was going to say, but...
Good. If you want to say it again, that's fine, because we don't always pick it up the first time.
Okay.
And let me just start out this way, since you're testifying. I want you to take an oath. Do you solemnly swear and affirm under the penalties of perjury that the testimony you are about to give in this matter shall be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please proceed.
A little bit of history behind the site. Clearwire is requesting a special exception to add a second carrier to an existing 100-foot monopole located at 707 Conservation Lane. The existing monopole is west of Muddy Branch Road on a parcel zoned RA with a significant amount of tree coverage that screens the area around the pole, and it minimizes the impact on the surrounding area. The monopole was approved under special exception A-527 for Nextel and T-Mobile. Since then, the monopole was built in June of 2009, and T-Mobile currently occupies the tower. Nextel has not installed any of their equipment on the tower or on the ground, and they have not requested an extension of their special exception at this time. Clearwire is proposing to add three panel antennas at 80 feet with all related equipment at the base of the tower inside the fence compound. They'll also be adding one dish antenna at 84 feet, which isn't part of this petition for the special exception because it's by right.
Right.
Telecommunication facilities are permitted by special exception in an RA zone per section 24-2511 of the zoning ordinance. Our proposal also complies with the requirements of 24-167A-D2 and 24-189B of the zoning ordinance. Clearwire is prepared to comply with the conditions set forth by the Planning Commission, and I'm open to any questions that you may have about the proposal. I have the elevation up on the screen for you can take a look at. The top carrier is T-Mobile, and Clearwire would actually put their antennas down below T-Mobile, minimizing the impact on the surrounding area. There really would be zero impact here. I've driven the area, looked at it. It was really hard for me to find the pole.
There's a lot of trees around it.
Yes, yeah. There's a lot of tree coverage around it. It's basically, from a communication standpoint, this is as good as it gets when you're co-locating antennas on a tower like this because of the area. And
you're paying rent to a nonprofit, that's great.
Excuse me?
You're paying rent to a nonprofit, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And as I said before, we're going inside the existing compound, so there will be basically minimal or zero ground disturbance because Clearwire is going to put their cabinet on a platform at the base of the tower. So if you have any questions, I'm open for questions.
Mr. Morgan, do you have any questions?
the original was heard in June of 2009 when it...
The tower was actually built in June of 2010, or June of 2009, I believe.
The original approval was February 8th, 2007. That was the initial approval. And then they got 2 1-year extensions after that in 2008 and 2009.
When did they go into operation?
I think in June of 2009.
Shortly after the tower
June
was built.
June of 2009.
Yeah, they would.
Pardon?
June of 2009, they...
Okay.
Yeah.
This does not apply to him or to Clearwater, but I don't recall seeing the propagation map that was to be submitted.
The actual coverage chart.
Within 60 days after they got on the air.
We'll have to check the files.
I understand.
Right.
Okay.
That won't affect.
Oh, no. This does not. Right.
You'll get a chance to do it, too.
This is just a
no problem.
Observation. I don't have any questions.
Just one thing for clarification, if you don't mind. You mentioned that Nextel was not using the site.
Yeah, originally it was approved for T-Mobile and Nextel to go on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, Nextel never renewed their special exception and they didn't put anything on the tower.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I know on a regular basis, a lot of carriers, they may permit something and unforeseen circumstances come up, whether it's, you know, budget freeze or they change their network around and they no longer need the site, but sometimes they just don't construct the site. So
I just wanted to be sure because the copy of the lease agreement that we have is with Nextel. So I just want to know if there's some issue with if somebody's operating it as an assignment of the lease rights or what's going on.
Well, basically, just like an independent tower owner could go in and build a tower.
Mm-hmm.
They could build the tower and still lease space on the tower without putting their antennas on the tower, and they can collect rent from the carriers.
From the people who put other carriers who put it on that tower.
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear. You know, Nextel doesn't need it, but yet they're on the underlying lease, and I just wanted to be clear before I understood what was going on. Thank you.
I remember the original application. There was some discussion about whether they would try and disguise it as a tree. Do you know if did they ever do that?
No,
no, I think
because I haven't seen it.
What we had them do is that they painted a portion of it a different color.
Oh, I'm just curious about that.
Yeah. Yes. There was a picture in your packet actually of the tower and the fence. If you're interested in that,
was that in color?
Yes, it was. I believe I can also bring it up if.
And I think the original. Thing that we had was that they worked with staff to come up with some sort of camouflage appearance, but I don't think that affects this.
In terms of the external diameter of the antennas, can you give me an approximation of what that is?
Well, actually, and looking at the elevation of right now,
I guess it's fine.
It's smaller than the existing array that's
up
there.
That's what I was wondering about, yeah. Do you know how big the existing array is? It looks pretty large, but it's hard to tell from this photograph.
Most likely it's probably very similar, but while he's looking for that answer.
I would assume maybe about 5 feet across, but that's an educated guess. I'm not sure.
But you'll notice on that picture, half of the tower is brown and the top half is lighter color.
Right.
So that's what we
that's
did
the,
to do the camouflage.
Okay.
Okay, and you're aware of the obviously of the Planning Commission requirement, which
correct
the tradition of which we began for them.
And we're willing to...
Of actual coverage after going to operation.
Yes, and we'll comply with all the requirements.
I'm sure you will.
Close the record, don't we?
Well, do you want to hear from the public?
Oh, yes. A member of the public here to address this issue? Thank you. Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we close the record on A527C.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Record's closed now.
Thank you.
You haven't gotten it yet. We just closed the record.
Sorry.
That's the first step. Now we...
It's okay. Okay, since we don't need a discussion, I'll entertain a motion. Resolution.
I make a motion that we approve the amendment to the special exception A527B which is a monopole. Let's try and motion we approve case A527C, the petition of Paul Whitney Network Building and Consultation LLC, consultants to Clearwater Wireless Broadband, requesting an amendment to a special exception A527B to add a second carrier utilizing 3 WIMAX panel antennas and related equipment to the existing telecommunication facility located in the RA low density residential zone attached to tower company monopole WSHO 674 at 707 Conservation Lane, Gaithersburg, Maryland. Be approved with the following conditions. Do we have to read the conditions?
Yes.
Oh, okay. At such time as, number one, at such time as Clearwater Wireless Broadband ceases to use this facility, the antennas, cabinet, and associated equipment shall be removed by the applicant at the applicant's expense. Number two, Clearwater Wireless Broadband is to submit an actual coverage threshold map to the Board of Appeals 60 days after the equipment becomes operational. The map will be the same type as provided in Exhibit 9. Number three, installation of antennas and associated equipment must be completed by September 9, 2011. Number four, if the installation is not complete by September 9, 2011, the petitioner must request a time extension in writing prior to September 9, 2011, and each subsequent year thereafter until such time as the installation is complete, period.
You have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Three passes to go.
Now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item is public hearing A544, Nicole and Walter Smith for Smith Beauty Services LLC. Would like to present.
Yes, this is an application for a special exception to permit a beauty salon at 8 Brooks Avenue in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and the property is located in the RB, the residential buffer zone, and this is allowed by section 24-22 of the City of Gaithersburg Zoning Ordinance, subject to the review of the Board of Appeals. And this was actually heard by the Planning Commission on August 18th or 11th, I can't remember the exact date, sorry, from me. And it was recommended for approval by the Planning Commission. And there's a CPC in your packet, and that was actually true of the past application, I forgot to mention that. And presenting for the beauty salon is Nicole Smith, I believe.
Okay, there was something about, in the Planning Commission's approval, about a floor plan. Do we have that?
No. She, I talked to her earlier today, actually. She is planning to apply for a building permit, and at that time, she'll submit the actual drawings of what, you know, what they're doing on the inside. So, if it's okay with the board,
I don't think it is.
Oh.
Because we need to have it. We need to see the drawing. We need to know where the equipment's going to be, and we have to know that the fire marshal approved it. Now, I know the fire marshal has to approve it before the building permit.
That's not a requirement. That's only a requirement for. Video games, that equipment stuff, we usually don't have that for something like this. That's a normal process.
And so we don't need the floor plan now either?
I don't think so. I was kind of surprised. I didn't remember the Planning Commission asking for that. But
yeah, it was
They
said it should be submitted to the Board of Appeals.
They said it should be submitted to the board.
Well, the intent was actually that the board would request, similar to the monopole or the telecommunications, that you know you would request a final version of the drawing after approval, just to sort of so there's something in the record to show that they are in fact occupying the amount of square footage that they have asked for.
I think if we could modify that condition, just applicant to provide staff with a properly scaled drawing indicating the maximum square footage of 684 square feet, because if it's greater, then it needs to come back for your review. If it's less, I don't think it's going to... affect a special exception if it's smaller, but if it's more, it would have to come back for an amendment.
Right.
And that, again, that condition about the fire marshal thing, that is specifically for amusement centers.
That's the only time we've had
that's
before.
That's the only time we've ever
yes,
done it.
That's why it kind of triggered it for us.
Yeah.
And what happens is that I'm sure that it will cost the applicant something to have that prepared, so that, you know, and they're probably holding back on doing any drawings or anything until they have their approvals.
I noticed in the lease you took care of that just in case. Smart business.
Yeah.
Please proceed.
Okay. Good evening.
I
took the recommendations of the Planning Commission.
I'm sorry, I need to swear you in first. You solemnly swear and affirm under the penalties of perjury that the testimony you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Please proceed.
Okay. Yes. I took the recommendations of the Planning Commission and I extended my operating hours and I put that in my revised statement. And I'll just read the revised statement. The special exception is to be operated as a small hair salon with a maximum of three hairstylists. On opening day, the salon will be occupied by the owner, operator, and one assistant. Our hours of operation will be Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. We will conduct business by appointment only. The number of clients to be serviced per hour is estimated to be a minimum of 2 with a maximum of 3. The space is located on the first floor in the addition of the building, and we will install 3 styling stations and 1 shampoo bowl. And there is a parking lot in the back of the building with 20 parking spaces.
Just briefly, you said that you amended your statement after the Planning Commission hearing?
Yes, they recommended that I extend my hours of operation.
Okay.
Is that in our record?
Because that was a question I had, because the approval from the Planning Commission states that the operating hours are limited to the hours specified in the applicant statement.
Right, and she, her statement at the Planning Commission meeting was that she was going to extend it, and she put that in writing in, as exhibit number 16.
Okay. I'm not doubting it, it's just that...
No, they specifically said that, you know, she was really limiting herself with the hours that she originally specified, and, you know, if there's some wedding that you have to do right before they want to be able
I
to
see
that.
I just didn't see a date on the statement, so I was trying to understand if that was just submitted after the Planning Commission
meeting. Was there was a whole discussion on it, and I thought, did we put that in the CPC?
Yeah, this, or not? The CPC number 2 is what I'm looking at, and they and that particular statement number 2 says hours specified in applicant statement, and then it references an exhibit number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same as the Board of Appeals exhibit 3, or was that replaced at the hearing with exhibit with what we have as number 16?
There was a discussion between Ms. Smith and the board, or the Planning Commission, about the hours, and
I'm just
that was
number
our 3 fault
in our record.
Right. I'm just wondering if
he wants to make sure that we're following through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the board was, or the Planning Commission was very concerned that Smith was limiting her hours, and that they said, you know, you don't have to, just because you asked for those hours to the Board of Appeals and the you don't have to be open all those hours, but we don't want to limit you so that you're going to have to come back every time you want to amend the hours.
I understand the concern. I just want to make sure that...
The Planning Commission did not see revised statement number 16,
okay.
Exhibit 16.
Right. What my concern is, or my question is that if we approve this special exception, okay, pursuant to the Planning Commission's statement number 2, I don't see anything in the record apart from a subsequent statement that wasn't before the Planning Commission. I only see exhibit number 3 referenced in their statement, and I want to make sure that if that's what the applicant's intent was, to extend that to 5:30, that can be supported in the record, so that she doesn't have to come back in case somebody objects in the future because she's doing something beyond 3 p.m.
Right. But this is the official
record.
Yeah, it's based on your record and what it says on after
the CPC. We're not bound by what the Planning Commission decided. There's his only recommendation.
I just wanted to make sure we weren't going
accidentally. You'll note at the end of the CPC that says the Planning Commission suggested that the applicant submit a revised statement with expanded hours to allow for future business.
Okay. Correct. And also in the draft resolution for the Board of Appeals, the second condition was changed to reflect the revised statement, exhibit number 16.
Thank you. Thanks. Sorry. I have no other questions then.
Okay. I don't have any questions. So, shall we close the record?
Member of the public.
address this? No? Hearing no one? Thank you, Trudy.
You take this one.
I make a motion that we close the record on A544.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Closed.
Yes. Yes, I move that the Board of Appeals approve case A544, the petition of Nicole Pratt Smith and Walter B. Smith III for Smith Beauty Services LLC, requesting an exception for a beauty salon in approximately 684 square feet area located in the RB residential buffer zone at 8 Brooks Avenue, Gaithersburg, Maryland, be approved with the following conditions. First, the special exemption is granted for Smith Beauty Services LLC only and shall terminate at the time of the expiration of their lease and or any subsequent lease renewals. Number two, operating hours are limited to the hours specified in the applicant's revised statement, exhibit number 16. Number three, applicant to provide the Board of Appeals with a properly scaled drawing indicating a maximum square footage of 684 square feet of space dedicated to the beauty salon portion of the property.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It passes 3-0. Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry about the confusion.
Thanks for keeping us on
present? Sure. This is an application requesting a 17-foot variance of the front yard setback to permit construction of a two-car garage, a 7.6-foot variance of the rear yard to permit the continuation of an existing sunroom and jacuzzi room, and a 10-foot variance of the side yard setback to permit the continuation of an existing deck at 1 Michelle Court, Gaithersburg, Maryland. The property is in the R90 medium density residential zone with setbacks as required by section 24-32C of the Gaithersburg zoning ordinance. And there are, if I can find my thing here, and there are 18 exhibits in the record. And I forgot what else I was supposed to say about that treaty.
Will be deemed received in evidence unless noted by the board.
That's it.
Excuse me.
And presenting for the applicant is, I believe, both John and Janine Mertz are here.
Yes, before we begin, do you have anyone else that will be presenting?
No.
In connection with it? Is there anyone here that intends to testify or object?
I would like to hear the...
That's fine. Just want to make sure that if you wanted to speak, you got your opportunity.
You're
going to
give him the oath?
Pardon? Not yet.
Okay.
From the way you prepare the papers, it's clear that you've read the statute and know what the requirements are. There are some things that need to be in the record that aren't there yet. And what I'm going to suggest, and you're not bound to do it, it won't affect what we do. Don't feel because I'm suggesting something that you have to take my suggestion, okay? I want to make sure that's clear. My suggestion is, I'd like to let you know tonight what things we think are missing. Now, just because we think they're missing doesn't mean you have to present it, but you probably have a better chance if you do. And if you want to make a presentation, I won't stop you, certainly, because it's your right to do that. But if you want or willing, you know, to wait for the next opportunity so you can present additional material, we, the board, will have a brief discussion. Not a discussion, really. I was going to suggest to you what I think might be missing, and I really want to limit the. If you're not going to make a presentation, I don't want the board to be discussing the matter, other than to indicate what they think might be missing, so that by the time we finish tonight, you'll have a list of the things. Now, even if you present it, it doesn't mean you're guaranteed you're going to get it. But the way things are now, it's almost assured that you won't get it tonight. So I don't think really it's not in your best interest to proceed.
Okay.
But you have the right to do so. I mean, you know.
Okay. Well, how about we listen to what your suggestions are and come back and try again?
I think that would probably give you the best shot at it.
Okay.
Let's start with the the pre-existing, I guess, changes that were encroachment that you want to take care of, which was in place when you bought the property. Since you read the statute, I'm sure you realize that you're bound not only by what you've done, but also what your predecessors in interest have done, so that we need to consider that the same way we consider, you know, what your new construction is going to be. In order to do that, though, we're going to need to see on your plans exactly where this is. If it's in the drawings now, I didn't see it, and I may have missed it.
The existing,
what was pre-existing to you, yeah.
Yes, they actually are shown on the plat that's on our screen now. I'm not sure if you see the same thing.
The jacuzzi, the screen porch, and the wood deck that are
toward the top.
I'm sorry. Can you start that again? I didn't hear you.
These. Can you see the cursor?
Yeah.
These items here. Encroached upon the setback, and they were existing at the time of settlement.
So that's the wood deck and the screened-in porch?
Yes.
The jacuzzi also?
The jacuzzi is a, I think it's referred to as a gazebo in some of the documents. That's the part that it grew up to.
Okay.
On the side, on the rear setback, the wood deck here encroaches on the side.
Now, just so you realize it, I'm not sure if you knew this, but since you have basically two fronts, you can consider whichever you want as your rear and your side.
We thought we were bound to anything that was exposed to the street as a front, so we don't have two front yards, in other words.
I don't think so. Isn't that
right, the corner lots.
It's a corner lot.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, I understand what you said.
We misunderstood. I think we misunderstood it. We thought that the sides of the property toward Michelle Court and Cullinan Drive were both required to be considered front yards.
Don't they have a choice as to what the front yard is?
No. There's two front yards. They're required.
There's two front yards.
There are two front yards.
So which is the back and which is the side?
They can choose the rear and the side, but
they
if you look.
They can't choose the front.
You can't choose the front. In the front, you have two front yards on a corner lot. If you look at the house without the jacuzzi or the wood deck and the carport was there, you sort of are limited as to which one you can choose to be your rear and your side because of the measurements.
Yeah, I mean the definition of frontage. Yeah.
You have to look under yard.
You have to look under yard?
Okay. Fine.
I just want to make sure. Yard front. Open space extending across the full width of lot between the front lot line or the proposed front street line and the nearest line of building or any enclosed portion thereof.
And we have opinions about this many.
The front lot line is, it says front street line. Is there a differentiation between front and something else?
We've always been interpreted with legal backing that you have two front yards.
I'm just asking the question.
So if you have two front yards, do you also have two back and two sides?
No, you get to choose. You get to choose
the back and the side.
The back and the side yard.
Okay, you probably didn't realize that.
But I think we discussed it with them.
Oh, because, okay. So you did
because the carport is already.
Wood side is clearly a side as the house was originally built because it's it approaches the 10-foot setback.
Right. Okay, so I have some suggestions for you. Number one, lot 20, it's slightly larger than yours, but it's a similar shape. You're going to have to distinguish from that lot. In order to do that, you have to show us what's on that now and why yours problem is different then from theirs.
We do have photos of that lot. That's the one across the street.
Yeah, that's right across the street. We do have photos of that lot, and there are some minor differences.
Is that in the record now?
No, we just had a phone message yesterday suggesting this, so yeah.
Okay, well you don't need to, we'll look at it if you want, but you don't need to do it now because
there might be other things.
We're going to give you the opportunity to supplement the record before the next hearing. Do we have any special motion for that?
No. I mean, right now the hearing's open.
Yeah.
I mean, you've started the hearing. Right. And if they want to, if they can submit it now or they can submit it as a supplemental package, but if they have the pictures now, they might answer some of the questions that you have.
We have a, this has nothing to do with you, it's a problem with board procedurally. Okay, so, this is Mr. Friend's last meeting. So I want to keep the record as short as possible tonight because the board members who are going to be at the next meeting are going to have to listen to the whole tape or read it in order to take part.
And the more I participate, the probably the worse for
the record. What else, what other items do you have on the list?
Well, Exhibit 11, I didn't notice, if it's there, I missed it, as to exactly where each picture's taken, what it's a picture of, from what side of the lot.
I'm not sure which one is Exhibit 11. I'm guessing that's the pictures of our house.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it might just be a written description of where they were taken in relation to streets and other market, points. But
so each photograph needs a written description of from where it was taken.
I don't know if it needs to be in writing, but when you're presenting additional things, you may want to specify where those photos were taken so we can correlate that with the site plan.
Necessarily do it now. You can submit something if you want to. You're entitled to do it now, or you can submit something later. Just to identify it. Next, you mentioned that there were two large trees in the back. That was one of the reasons why you didn't want to put the garage there. We need to support that, there should be a picture of that somewhere.
There are not two trees in the back. The two trees that we want to take out are in the side. They're labeled here with the post-its. They're actually split trees, so they're dangerous anyway. And these are the two trees that would need to come out.
I'm aware of those.
Okay.
I thought there were two trees somewhere else in your lot.
two trees that are will be alongside of the new the new addition. We can show you those in the photographs now.
Yeah, let me get this paper. Okay, you mentioned in Exhibit 6, in the third paragraph at the end, it says, we have several large, full, mature trees that fill our lot between the proposed garage and our neighbor's driveway, the closest structure to our property line.
That's these two.
I'm referring to these trees here.
Is that one of the trees that you're showing us now?
This, where the little hand is, this...
Can you click on the hand and slide it over for a second, because we're not... Well, actually, you can see it on the monitor.
Yeah, I can see it on the monitor.
See it on there. That's good.
This tree here and this tree here would remain. And this is our neighbor's driveway. So our driveway would be here. And we're saying that we're not imposing on his view. If we leave those trees and have our driveway on the other side, he still has the...
Right. To clarify the record, I would suggest that what you might want to do is, in Exhibit 11, the photograph in the upper right corner that you were just showing us, just give some indication of which two trees you're talking about, because we need to connect your statement about the what trees, the record doesn't show what trees those are.
Okay.
So if you can mark it on the exhibit, that would let us know where that is. And then the photographs at two Keystone. I know it's in your neighborhood, but it doesn't show up in the record here anywhere.
It's like,
that I can find.
It's like less than a mile away from our house.
It's not on the subdivision plat that you submitted. I think it was number 13. So we might need something showing the proximity.
Well, the Keystone pictures, mm-hmm. Subdivision plot, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keystone's not on the plan.
I happen to know where it is, but we need to. It would be good if we could show the record, even if you just attached a portion of a map or something that you can
just mark it.
The city.
We can.
The city
yeah,
has put out a great map. I don't know if you have the street map of Gettysburg.
Well, we can. Kirk and well.
Yeah, we can work with the applicant to make a little map
well,
of it.
We can make it with the property lines and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
We can make extra paper.
In Exhibit 4, which is your part of your application, it's the last page where you have a list of names and addresses. Since the plat that we have only shows lot numbers, could you indicate what lot numbers those are so we can connect them?
The names and addresses of the properties that are close to ours? You
right, Michelle Court 2, 3, Cumberland Drive 25 and 22. The record right now doesn't show which lots those are, so if you could just mention where they are, we'll be able to find it on Exhibit 13.
I
one of the issues that comes up sometimes in variance cases is how what you're doing affects the streetscape. And so you might want to address that issue. For example, because the requirement is you have a 30-foot setback, anyone driving down the street, unless other people have gotten variances, all the garages and houses are going to be 30 feet back. So when driving down the street, you know, you see a lot of green. And if yours is shorter than that, someone driving down the street won't see that. It's important to some people, it is important to other people, but you probably would be well to address that issue. Anything else? Something else?
I don't think I can add anything at this point.
And we don't have to be on the record. I mean, staff is always willing to work with you if you have questions. Do you have any?
No. I don't have any.
Okay. So, we're going to leave.
You brought up the things I was going to ask about.
Oh, I should have let you go first.
No.
So I assume you're okay with the idea of, you know, presenting more information, and we'll take this up next month when we'll have a fuller record. You have a better shot at getting what you want that way.
Okay, well, I've taken notes of 6 different items. Should I present these items and send them in to Kirk before your next meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as soon as you have them.
And so everything is in writing?
Because they may... I mean, the staff is very helpful. They may make suggestions, and you know, you do something a little different, perhaps, or change it.
Okay. So we'll just come up with this documentation and see you guys in a month.
I'm sorry?
And we'll come back in next month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't believe there's any other business before us tonight, is there?
Well, you need to...
We
need
to
move to continue the hearing.
We need to continue the hearing.
What's the date of the next meeting?
Oh, goodness, you would ask. It is November... Oh, no, no, it's October...
It's October the 7th.
October 7th.
Sure. October what day?
7th.
October 7th.
Sure, it's not the 14th?
Can't be the 7th.
You're quite correct. Friday is the 1st, so you're right. It would be the 14th.
14th.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we keep the record open in...
Well, continue the hearing.
Continue the hearing, I'm sorry. To continue the hearing on application or case number A-545 until the October 14th Board of Appeals meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's just the are you ready to adjourn?
Well, I mean, before we adjourn, I wanted to, since this is my last meeting, I wanted to thank everybody for the opportunity to serve on the board. I'm moving out of town for other reasons. It has nothing to do with serving on the board. I wanted to make that clear. And I wanted to thank everybody for the opportunity to serve for the last 3 or 4 years. I can't remember exactly when I started here, but it's been fun. So thank you very much.
And let me say that we appreciated working with you.
You
brought a lot of good material and thinking to
thank
the board.
You. Thank
and,
you.
And we appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Actually, staff did have one last thing, and I know you requested to delay the rules of procedure, which is fine. For the Maryland Department of Planning required training, everyone has completed, including Mr. Friend, except I don't know if Mr. Noble has completed it, so I just wanted...
Mr. Noble hasn't been able to yet.
Okay.
And it may be a while. He has some... His reasons mm-hmm. off the record, I can tell you.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to provide an update that you know, the remaining members have completed it. So, and also just to remind everyone that the state law that was passed, while it requires the training, it also has a stipulation that just because a member does not have the training, that's not grounds for an appeal. So, if it takes you some time, it takes you some time. So don't feel rushed. Okay.
With that, I'll adjourn. that, Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn.
Oh, wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there something else?
The rules of procedure.
They delayed that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're postponing that.
Postponing.
I'd like to have the full board here when we do that.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn today's meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Do we have to leave a sign in the yard?
Oh, goodness, that's a good question.
Actually, we'll have to get a new sign.
And do we have to re-advertise too, Trudy?
No, no, because...
They just need to change the date on the sign?
That's right.
Do you want me to just take a Sharpie and change the date on the sign?
No, we'll make a new sign.
Okay.
Yeah. Kurt, do you have a second?
Sure.
I just had a question real quick.
Okay, sure. And if you want to just come by,
I'm going to have to take a...